We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Lemieux and Richie. As the horn sounds.
And this is all for the falling on top of Georgiev earlier in the hockey game.
Players of both teams bang their sticks on the ice in support of Brendan Lemieux and Nick Ritchie. So the Boston Bruins come into Madison Square Garden and defeat the New York Rangers by the score of 4-1 as Ritchie exits.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. That was the end of the Bruins' win in New York against the Rangers yesterday, and in the closing seconds, I think there was like 0.4 seconds left on the clock, puck hit the ice for the faceoff, the gloves and sticks hit the ice at the exact same moment, and the Bruins got an opportunity, thankfully. Nick Ritchie got a chance to exact some form of revenge against the guy who's just irked them all season so far, and that's Claude Lemieux's son, Brendan Lemieux.
Mm-hmm.
If you wonder where Brendan Lemieux gets it, he comes by it naturally. The Bruins did make a bit of a roster move on Saturday. They claimed a defenseman off waivers from Nashville. Jared Tonorty is his name. He was a first-round pick for the Canadiens back in 2010. I think the biggest reason that they got this guy more than anything else is that, you know, you've got Jeremy Lauzon and Kevin Miller still out of the lineup. And they needed, they felt some size and some oomph. Juho Vaakanainen's been pushed around a little bit. He's kind of slight. You know, they've got a bunch of smaller defensemen out there. And Jared Tonorty, who is the son of Mark Tonorty, is 6'6", about 245 pounds.
A big hoss, this guy.
That's a load.
He's a big boy. And I think that you know, Don Sweeney just felt that they needed to add some physical presence.
Yeah.
Matt Grzelcyk did not play again yesterday, could well be in the lineup on Wednesday, but he's a smaller defenseman as well. Tonorty was claimed on Saturday, couldn't play for them yesterday. I would assume we'll be joining them for the game on Wednesday. I don't know whether, you know, they'll have him in the lineup or not, but he'll be here for that.
Well, it's funny, you talk about physical play. I saw somebody yesterday tweeted out, and I don't think it was exactly 10 years ago to the day, but it was 10 years ago in February. When you remember when the Bruins played the Dallas Stars and there was three fights in the first 4 seconds of the game? I think it was Campbell, Thornton, and McQuaid, like three killers. And it was like they tried to drop the puck, fight. They're like, all right, fight. It was three fights in a row. One of the greatest things ever to happen in the history of hockey. That was 10 years ago.
That's hockey.
If only someone would write about that in pages of a book. We'll talk about it later.
Man, I had no idea. Shime, you got a hockey book coming out? Tell me more.
including someone who might have been involved in one of those.
Yeah, the guy involved, absolutely
Dale's writing a Steve Ott book.
Yeah, the Steve Ott book. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what people are going to be reading.
But I do think that they felt they had to get some size.
Sure.
I don't know what Kevin Miller's situation is. He's a physical presence back on the Bruins' blue line. But his knee's been bothering him late. He hasn't been able to play, you know, the last couple of games. They may be looking at an insurance policy here if he can't come back, because some of their younger defensemen, you know, they're learning. They're, you know, this guy's a veteran. He's been around. He's got good size. I don't want to make this sound like he's, you know, the next coming of Zdeno Chara or something.
No, but he's clearly a big fella out there, and they just need help. I mean, it's to the point where they need bodies. Like, how many able-bodied defensemen can you have? They've already gone through How many different defensemen have played, Dale? 11?
11, because Stephen Kampfer played this weekend. Yeah.
Good Lord, we're starting to look like the 2015 Patriots offensive line where everyone gets a chance to try to block somebody.
Yeah, it's too much.
Dear Lord.
It's all right, so we talked about a roster move that the Bruins made over the weekend, and I'm not saying it's tied in with the fact that they won yesterday against the New York Rangers, although they played much, much better yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Celtics have played better the last couple of games, and we were kicking this around, the Woj bomb from earlier today, that Victor Oladipo has turned down a two-year, $45.2 million extension from the Houston Rockets. And immediately on our little text chain that we have going for the show, somebody texted out to Rich real quick and said, hey, how about this guy?
Yeah, Oladipo is an interesting one. It's funny. In his career, he's been traded a few times for All-Stars. He was involved in that Paul George deal. He was involved in the James Harden deal. And so he's now in Houston. He turns down an extension. But again, because the NBA salary cap is slappy, they can only offer him so much right now. In the offseason, they can offer him a lot more. And they have a decision to make. Do they want to commit 4 or 5 years to him and pay him crazy money? Or they may want to flip him this month before the deadline. And so he's in the last year of his deal. He's making, I think, $21 million. So the Gordon Hayward trade exception you could use. You could trade them a bunch of picks and use that and bring him in here. And he's a good player. He's come back from injury, although I think he's out right now, but I don't know if that's more because they might trade him or what. I think he's dealing with like a quad injury. But he's had a solid season in the two places he was at.
Almost 19 points a game this year. Yeah,
solid, and he plays defense, right? Like in the it's like 5% of the league plays defense. He's in that 5%. He's a good player, but he would be a rental. And do you want to use that kind of asset for like half a season? And is that worth committing to? Or could you use that for somebody that might be a part of the team going forward?
Yeah.
I guess if it was, hey, you're going to use that on Oladipo or you're not going to use it this season and you're going to try to get somebody in the offseason, maybe I would take a shot at Oladipo, but I might shoot a little bit higher than that. Very good player, like a good all-around player, but I think you could do a little bit better. Plus, it's kind of, would your best lineup then be Tatum, Brown, Smart, Walker, Oladipo? That's pretty small. Mm-hmm. You know, again, Smart and Oladipo play a little bit bigger than they are, but that is a really small group.
And so they would score the ball a lot, Rich. And I would love, you know what? So is Brooklyn, and I would love to watch.
Yeah.
Fine, fire away. Just get the ball. 7 seconds or less. Giddy up. Get it out there.
True.
But he doesn't. But the one thing is, Dale, we talked about earlier in the show, he doesn't bring everyone shut your damn mouth and get in the locker room. How did we lose that game? Or he doesn't do the whole like fourth quarter. Like he's not undressing everyone on the bench. He's not telling Tatum and Brown where to go. That's that extra intangible. Like you can't trade for an intangible, but in the pursuit of many things to bolster the Celtics ranks, Rich, and get them to live up to, if not surpass their potential. I just don't think that's one thing that Oladipo would bring, even though, like you said, there's some redundancy and he would be kind of a rental. I just don't think he has that something that the unquantifiable something that they need.
Well, Wick hinted in a recent radio interview that they may be better off using that trade exception in the off season. I hope that's not the case.
Oh, yeah, boy. It's sort of like it might be more realistic, I guess, but I feel like that's what we've heard a lot. And, you know, Wick has made statements in the past about, you know, well, this, you know, this coming off season or this off season.
And, fireworks.
You know, he did say that, and there wasn't for a while. But to his credit, they have been aggressive in off seasons, and that's where they've gotten Al Horford and Gordon Hayward and, you know, trading for Kyrie Irving and all these different things. But I think this season has not gone the way that you expected it to, but I don't know if you're ready to punt it away just yet. I don't know if it's still true, but as of the other night, there were only 3 teams in the Eastern Conference with a winning record. Like, everybody's 500. Everybody is where the Celtics are. And you wonder, and out of the 3 teams above them, it was Philly, who they've always kind of had Philly's number. Milwaukee, who I'm not sold on. Like, until Giannis gets to the finals, I think something's going to trip him up. And then Brooklyn, who's like the ultimate kind of wild card team. 3 of the best talents in the world, but you're waiting for something to happen. So I feel like the East is open. I feel like the East is still open, and by no means am I telling you that the Celtics are at the top of that list, but if they make a move in season and get Smart back, like, is it that crazy to think that they could, you know, be a dangerous team in the playoffs? I mean, I hope that they don't just say, well, let's wait to the off season, and then we can use that $23 million to our benefit then. Because what if it doesn't happen, and then all of a sudden you don't use it at all? Plus, other teams around the league are going to know in the off season you have until whatever the date is to use it. So we know that you kind of have to, so maybe we're not going to give you as much in return.
A week ago, we were basically ready to write off the season. Now we're saying, you know, if they could make a move, maybe they'd be a player. I mean, depending on the move, maybe. I don't know if Oladipo is the move that makes them a player in the East all of a sudden, but.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, I do think they were playing really, really poorly. They were. But I think a couple of things in play. One, Kemba Walker didn't look right. And at least the last two games, he's bounced back. Kemba Walker was super aggressive in the Indiana game, was really good. And then even yesterday was a little bit better, more efficient. And when they get Marcus Smart back, and if they could do something else, like, are they the favorite? No. But that doesn't mean you don't try. Like, it doesn't mean, well, it's going to be Brooklyn and the Lakers, so everybody else just shut it down. Like, it's worth going after.
Doesn't it seem like Kemba has had, I want to say, like, maybe he's gone for more than 20 in four of his last five or five of his last six? Like, we could be making our way into you can now start to Kemba for 20 plus a night territory, which would be massive for this team.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Steve's in Longmeadow. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Dale, Keith. How you guys doing?
Hey, good.
Doing great.
Good. I just wanted to check, has the name Taysom Hill been brought up as a possibility of quarterback?
Oh, my God.
I haven't heard that mentioned.
No.
Do you want him to be your starting quarterback?
Well, I don't know. I don't know a lot about him, but you ran through every other name in the book there, and he looked pretty good as a backup to Drew Brees at the end of last season.
As a backup.
So he is under contract, though, with the Saints. And I know some of the guys on that list are under contract, but he signed a big deal to really just be kind of like a Swiss Army knife. And I just think he might throw the ball worse than Cam Newton. Like, I don't want Taysom Hill, personally.
Yeah, okay. Now, I know he's more of a running quarterback, but, not knowing a whole lot about it, I thought he did, from afar, it looked like he did a decent job as a young backup to Drew Brees. So,
yeah, he was more of a gimmick play kind of quarterback anyway.
Yeah, they won, and it was kind of ugly. Like, he would get some, like, 1-2 yard rushing touchdowns and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it wouldn't be too much of a departure from what you saw with Cam Newton, which I think a lot of us are trying to kind of get away from.
Yeah. Okay. Just one other quick thing, Dale. I didn't get a chance to call last month about releasing Zdeno Chara. What was your take on that? It's just massively disappointing.
They didn't release him. He was a free agent. Don Sweeney made it clear they wanted to re-sign him. He also was honest with Zdeno Chara, how much they plan to use him, that they had some young defensemen who were percolating in the pipeline and they wanted to get some playing time for, and there would be times when, they would ask Zdeno Chara to sit out a game here or there. Chara said he appreciated Sweeney's honesty. He elected to go to the Washington Capitals, an organization that made no promises for playing time there either. But as I said at the time of the move, it's a lot easier if the Washington Capitals sit you out than if the Boston Bruins sit out the 14-year captain of the team. That's a tough sell. And I think that was part of, Zdeno Chara's thinking. He's played very well in Washington. He really has. I think he's a +8 or something when I last checked.
Yeah, he is actually a +10.
Oh, up to 10
in
now,
21 games. 19 and a half minutes total time on ice, which is almost a career low. You got to go back to his days with
the
Islanders.
Idea. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I think that was expected. But when he first signed with them, and you saw the depth chart that they had, I was wondering if he would even play this much. Like, he's played more games and more minutes than I would have guessed.
Do you think Dale? Do you, if he were still on the Bruins, what do you think his minutes per night would be? How much ice time do you think he would have?
Well, Charlie McAvoy's leading the team, by a lot, and when they can, they're trying to keep him below 25. But McAvoy's been a 24, 25 minute a night kind of guy many nights. He wouldn't have as much ice time as McAvoy. He'd be out there more shorthanded situations. McAvoy is more 5-on-5, occasionally power play time. They didn't really use Chara much on the power play the last couple of years. So My guess is probably similar to what you see with the Caps. Maybe a little less, but somewhere in that ballpark.
Now, Zippo!
Now with all the injuries on the blue line, it's easy in hindsight to say, oh, yeah, I bet you wish you'd kept Chara now. Yeah. They wanted to keep Chara. They tried to keep Chara. They offered Chara a contract not that dissimilar to the one that he ended up signing with the Washington Capitals. He chose to go elsewhere.
But if you look at the first, I don't know, 10 games of the regular season, if all those defensemen that were out there had stayed healthy, they were doing a great job. They weren't a problem.
Like,
and they actually they haven't even played poorly. It's just been injuries and like having to go the next man up and jumbling things around. But the guys that started the year, Sweeney looked pretty smart for sticking with those guys.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. What do I see? Is it a free money Monday? What? Shime's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and Shime's going to trend first.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI. Need winners?
Yes.
Chris Shime's got him.
We got kind of screwed with the Cincinnati game.
You lost. You lost, Shime.
Clipping at somewhere between 10 and 70%.
Russian table tennis, Australian rules football, New Zealand rugby.
Chris Shime is putting money in your pocket.
You lit a match to half a unit. You're not getting that back.
Guaranteeing at least one winner a week.
I will be wagering on all of Shime's NFL picks.
Oh, but don't hold him to that.
This is my 8th straight winning season.
It's time for free money
Monday.
On Dale and Keith.
We spared no expense on the production value for this whole
Never
thing.
Never do.
I was just going to say, somebody must have just signed a big deal with a new sponsor because we went Cha-ching. Broke on the...
Love
well,
it.
I mean,
Love it.
This is my 8th straight winning season.
It's time for free money
Monday.
On Dale and Keith.
Drop the music. All right, free money Monday. Shime, you gave us some picks, though, on Friday, or no?
No, I was not in on Friday, so I didn't have any picks for you Friday. But I did play some bets over the weekend.
I'm sure you did quite well.
I went 4-1.
Every time.
Keep in mind, he could be making that number
up, of course he did.
No, I'm not. I picked the Bruins both Friday and Sunday. Went 1-1 there, of course.
Okay.
I finally, guys, I'm back on the table tennis train.
Good.
I found the perfect Sergei to bet against. I've bet against him multiple times before. That would be none other than Sergei Ogai. His opponent, Alexander Yurievich Fedosov, was an underdog, and I hit on that one because money.
Good for you. Nice.
And then I had a nice Flyers-Capitals parlay on Saturday, which paid out pretty nice. And Lakers -3 versus the Warriors last night. Lakers had lost 4 in a row, then 1-1. I felt LeBron needs to get on a little bit of a winning streak. 3 was too low for me, so it was an easy win there.
So now it's officially March. We'll have the tournament coming up in a little bit. But what are you looking at right now? What is wetting your whistle?
So one of the new things that I'm trying here, and I know nothing, and I want to emphasize to you the
word
you could
have just stopped there.
Nothing. When I tell you that I'm going to be betting on Champions League handball this week.
Now we're talking. Handball.
I don't even know how you score in handball.
I was going to say, you couldn't even tell me how the game is played, could you?
Dale, I'm going to read you the two teams on the game that I'm betting.
Isn't it
don't even know what countries they're from.
Is it soccer Champions with your hands, League? Basically?
Yeah, there's a net involved.
There's a net, right?
Yeah, but they score like 30 points. So.
Well, yeah, because they're whipping it.
It's wild.
Chucking full speed.
Wait, so is it like water polo without the water?
I think so. I don't think the ball is as big as a water polo ball, but I think it's like maybe a little bit bigger than a softball, if I remember.
Water polo. Okay, so they're really humming it around.
I watched it in the Olympics once. Yeah. Okay,
so the team I'm betting on, they play tomorrow at 12:45. THW Kiel is -6.5-point favorites versus Selgej Pivovarna Lasko.
What is
perfect?
That?
Yep.
What's the line?
6.5.
Oh, okay.
I'm going with Kiel -6.5 there.
If you think they can cover that?
If you're going to pick teams to bet on, pick easier names to say.
No, see, that's the point, Dale.
There may not be.
You pick the harder names to say because those teams stink.
Actually, also in a bit of breaking news.
To say they stink?
Yeah.
Belichick's going to be there scouting the next Patriots quarterback as well.
Could be.
A team that's a 7.5-point underdog is HC Motor Zaporozhye.
Oh, good.
Why do you think it's not as popular in the United States as it should be, maybe?
because it's never been seen here except in the Olympics.
Yeah. Also, it's lacrosse without sticks, basically.
Because no one wants. I don't know. There's. But I've never seen a handball
Americans
league.
Play it. Americans play handball.
So you have to be like in an exclusive club to play handball in the U.S. I think, though.
Like polo?
Yeah, maybe.
Like on horses?
It's definitely an elitist sport.
Is that right?
I don't know about that. I feel like it's a very inexpensive sport to play.
Yeah, you just need
just show
ball,
up,
a couple of goals, you run around, mix it
you
up.
You can
a
make
bit.
Nets out of anything nowadays. Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Anyway, I also have a couple other picks tonight in normal sports. I'm going with a nice little underdog tonight. The Minnesota Wild are on a nice little winning streak. They're going to the Vegas Golden Knights tonight, but they're underdogs. They're on like a 5-game win streak. The records are the same. I'm taking Minnesota as the underdog there. And then
you notice that we play the football theme song under your picks,
yeah,
regardless
picks.
Of whether you're picking football or not.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
I think
music.
It's more of the it's taken on a second life as the Shime theme song. Keith.
Has it?
It has.
I mean, we've been doing it for over 2 years.
I have
so.
This
Shime's theme song is more the tuba.
Yeah, but that's my dumb take theme song. That's not
but some
fun
of these
to-
picks.
What do you mean, some of these picks?
You bet on handball. I also.
Yeah,
this
it's
might
fun.
Be a little bit more apropos, as they say.
We might need new. That's. I feel like what you're playing is like Shimes. That's like Football Friday free money.
Right. This is like Friday, all football picks, Fitzy's losing money picks. Mm-hmm. Maybe something else.
All right,
know.
We can have the conversation about my production skills off air.
That's not even necessarily your skills.
I know we do it on air a lot, too.
Decision
but...
making. But like, I caught that.
I was just listening to it, and I know that you normally play it, but I'm thinking that is also synonymous with football. We're not in football season.
Yeah, but it's just a nice, solid backdrop for my picks.
I think you need your own. I think we need somebody out there.
Someone craft up a beat.
Yes. You want to be a part of the show, email in or whatever.
Make it a little bit more like electronic, housey, give it a little more bass.
I want a lot of keyboards in it.
Yes, please. Synths.
Yeah. Synth.
And I synth wave synth. Feel synth. To it. That's what I want.
Good lord.
All right.
The other game tonight that I really like, by the way, the Brooklyn Nets are traveling to the San Antonio Spurs. Currently 5-point favorites. The Nets have a 5-game road win streak right now. I think they kind of continue that tonight. So I'm going to go with the Nets laying 5 at the Spurs tonight.
All right. I like that one. Is that it?
Yeah, that's what I got for you. This
all right,
week.
So you got a handball, you got a hockey, and you got a couple and a hoops.
And a hoops, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice
handball,
and easy for
hockey,
you.
Hoops.
Hold on, we'll debut the new Shy music right now.
Oh, you have it already?
No, please, no.
I feel like I'm raving in a club now.
I don't hate it. You got to scream all your picks, though. Like, scream them into the microphone.
Guys, I have a handball pick for you today.
You guys, these picks are so good, I can't feel my teeth.
So, Shime, it was just a thought, and you can't do it tonight because, you know, they don't play tonight, but have you thought about the possibility of just betting the over on any superstar playing against the Celtics at any point?
So this was brought to my attention. We discussed this a little bit last week. I think every night now the Celtics play, I'm just going to look at who the superstar is. So tomorrow will be we have the Clippers tomorrow.
Yes.
So who would be – is my best bet to bet on Paul George? Or our buddy Kawhi Leonard. So Kawhi over 30 points. So whatever Kawhi's point total is, I'm betting the over there.
Yes.
Okay.
I would do that.
All right. You know, there it is. That's the fourth bet of the day here. Tomorrow night.
Okay, there you go, Dale. It didn't take much to talk him into that one.
Tomorrow night we'll go with the
over
the
on Kawhi Leonard.
I don't even know what the total is yet. I'm going to go over.
I bet it won't even be 30. I bet it'll be like 27.5, 28.5.
26.5 sounds right to me.
Okay, yeah, I bet that's what it is. Take the over. Feel good about it.
You can't have vocals in his background music.
This is so strange.
I don't even know what this is.
But Shime's head is bobbing.
Yeah, it's a bop, Dale. Just because
it's funky
bop.
As hell is what it is.
This is also true. I like this the house music more. A lot of bass. That's what I'm here for.
I really don't think we're any closer to finding what it should be.
No, I don't think we're any closer at all. And I blame John.
Yeah,
we just gave him about 30 seconds of lead time here, so
I think he's just going through his musical library now.
I was just distracted by the football theme. That's all. That's all. I'm trying to focus on these picks.
And now you've caused such a ruckus that we don't even know what to do.
I was distracted by Shime trying to pronounce the names of the teams he's betting on.
Yeah, this one, betting
Brooklyn
against Seljay.
Loss
Angeles.
No, the Brooklyn Bets is what they are because we're betting on them.
Okay. All right.
Got him.
Oh.
He redeems himself right there.
Stuck the landing on that one, buddy.
Out over his skis. Let's get a couple more calls in if we can before we get to the break. 617-779-7937. Nick's down on the Cape. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing great.
Awesome.
Just so I heard when you were kind of waiting to break the last break there, that you said Alex Smith is going to part ways with the Redskins.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm going to predict Belichick's probably going to pick him up. Because Belichick just needs a game manager. He's not really looking for anything special. He just wants the quarterbacks are cheap, and I bet Alex Smith might be available.
Why do you think he doesn't want a good quarterback?
Oh, I didn't say he doesn't want a good quarterback. He just want to pay a good quarterback is more the issue.
Yeah, and there might not be – yeah, I mean, the good quarterbacks – let's face it, aren't really available. Like the great quarterbacks. They're going to cost too much and you don't have it. And so in that regard, Alex Smith, I guess, could be in there. But I think if it's going to come down to Alex Smith, he would just as easily talk himself into bringing back Cam Newton. I think they were going to cost roughly the same. He knows them. He likes them. That'd be my guess.
I wouldn't be surprised if he brought Alex Smith in and kept Cam.
Maybe.
Well, it's certainly possible. I just think that there are too many physical concerns for Belichick to consider Alex Smith. And I'm not saying there aren't physical concerns for some of these other quarterbacks. Rich has pointed out that Jimmy Garoppolo's been hurt, you know, on more than one occasion in his career. Mm-hmm. But he didn't suffer what was literally a life-threatening injury, which is what Alex Smith, God love him, came back from.
But I want the next quarterback that they signed to at least have the chance to be the starting quarterback for 3 to 5 years. Like, at least the contract doesn't have to be that, but at least tell me that there's an opportunity that maybe, just maybe, 3 to 5 years, where if you sign Alex Smith or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Tyrod Taylor, that I don't want them starting 3 to 5 games, let alone right. 3 to 5 years. So right. That's why I would be a no on all those guys.
Yeah, like you get after Garoppolo. You trade for Minshew. These are guys that might actually play. Helrich, you said you want him to play for 3 to 5 years. I'll take longer than a season. Yeah. If we can get 2 years, maybe three out of the next guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick, guarantee you he can't. He just is not going to have enough in his tank, no matter how much TB12 he tries to go on or whatever the hell his advanced nutritional program is. He's not going to give you more than 2 years. Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly. Like I need more than that. Stop gaps. Mm-hmm. Basically tell me Belichick believes the ceiling on this year's team is 10-6 at most.
Yeah. James up in Maine. Hey, James.
Hey, this is James.
Hey, James.
So I played handball in college.
Perfect.
And I just wanted to explain
it. There is college handball?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, like going against colleges, but it was, you know, rec league. But anyway, they have a volleyball. It's essentially a volleyball. It's a little smaller than a volleyball. And it's basically basketball and hockey mixed together. So if you have the ball, you're going to dribble it. And you go to the three-point line. You can't shoot from within the three-point line. So usually you run and you step from the three-point line, jump in, and try
it's
to
like
shoot.
The NBA to the, now.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's like these Golden State Warriors. All right, so it's hockey meets basketball. So you dribble it a little pretty bit, you pass it, and then you got to shoot from outside the arc.
Someone called it an elitist game, and it's definitely not an elitist game. It's actually a really fun. You can get your friends together. You really don't need that much money to, you know, to throw a game together, and it's pretty
love
fun.
Love it. Take that, now John. Not an elitist sport.
Okay,
so
I literally played
right
it
up your
in college, bumbum. Guys. I was making a joke.
Well, you played it too?
Well,
yes, I
it
did.
Didn't really
it was a very fun game. I was trying to one up the joke from earlier that Fitzy couldn't one up. So,
And you nailed it.
Thanks.
Absolutely smashed it.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, what else you got? It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy Sports Radio WEEI.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of stories we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Fitzy!
Well, Dale, I'm sure you and every other Boston sports super fan last night didn't have your eyes on the Bruins postgame or the Celtics, but rather you were glued
to the socially distanced Golden Globe Awards.
I did not watch a minute.
I didn't think you did last night.
No.
And I watched some of it because I love me some Hollywood. I love pop culture and entertainment. And I can't get enough award shows, mostly because they make me feel terrible about myself. And that I promised my mom I'd try and win an Oscar one day. And the best I can do is be third man in on the midday show.
3 days
a week. But I digress. Oh, come on. Three days a week, no less. That said, last night I was disappointed to see that The Mandalorian did not win Best Drama. However, I was excited for my guy, Jason Sudeikis, a.k.a. Ted Lasso, for winning Best Actor in a Comedy Series. And for as great as this series is, and however many people have said, wow, thanks for the recommendation, this did brighten my life, his acceptance speech almost undid all of the good of the show because it was really bad.
Oh, I think Ted's impression of this win tonight would be that it was a little too singular for his tastes, but it's nice that the show, garnered any attention through its nomination for the show and for the acting thing. But we're on to the next one.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team. That we have a smart football team.
Fitzy, you are selling this yuck tsunami here.
What happened? Hey, well, I saw pictures. I didn't see it live, but I saw him out. He looked like he had been
on a woken up.
Yeah, it looks like he'd been woken up before the show. Yeah, Dale, he's in like a white pullover sweat. Everyone else is all dressed up with
bloodshot
the bedazzled backgrounds, making it look like an award show. He looks bloodshot, hungover, and he's in like a pullover sweatshirt he picked up at American Outfitters like a half an hour before the show. It was such a bummer too, because like it is such an incredible show.
I saw the video this morning. Jodie Foster won. And she thanked her wife and her dog and her friends and Aaron Rodgers.
How do you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Best buds.
Yeah, I guess. Buds.
What else you got?
How about it, Rich?
Well, Dale, it is that time. It is the 6th annual hashtag Dork Madness, which will kick off tonight. We are going to be doing an episode, Davey and myself, on our YouTube channel, 8:45 tonight, where we will determine the next topic. The first five were best comic book movie, best comic book character, best television show, best video game, and best Star Wars character. So we are going to brainstorm, and we welcome all ideas, something that does not have an obvious winner, something that there are at least 64 of, as we will have we'll have the brackets out sometime this week. Fitz, you got a suggestion?
I have a question and a suggestion.
Okay.
Who won last year for best Star Wars character?
Darth Vader.
Yeah, hands down, had to.
Darth Vader won. The Dark Knight won best comic book movie, but that was also 5 years ago, so there's been a lot of really good ones since. We could always update that. Batman won best character. Seinfeld won best TV show. And Mario Kart 64 won the best video game.
Wow. My suggestion was perhaps there was a tweet that went viral over the weekend. Name the five action movies you can't live without.
Ooh, action movies is a good one.
Yes. I saw a lot of... Now, I wonder, like I suggested, mine were like Die Hard, Aliens, Terminator 2, The Matrix, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the way that you can sort of parse out these five is some are sci-fi. Like Raiders is an adventure movie. Is that is action adventure? Dale, do you consider a good sci-fi movie an action movie? Because
it can be, sure.
Yes.
Matrix,
see, I think
absolutely
so as well.
Is.
I think they can be. I think they're both. Yeah.
What else you got?
A little selfish self-promotion, if I may. Last January, I signed a contract with Triumph Books to write my second book. I was co-authoring the autobiography of Sean Thornton, formerly of the Boston Bruins. Needless to say, COVID sort of kicked the crap out of all of our plans. We have written this entire book remotely. I haven't seen him face-to-face since I signed the contract. We have not shared a beer since we signed the contract, but we have completed the book. It is in the hands of the publisher. The cover was released to us last week. It showed up on Amazon on Friday night. That's the first time it was even available for people to sell. As we sit here at this moment, it is currently number 4 in bestsellers for hockey. It is number 2 in most wished for in hockey. And it is number 1 in new releases in hockey on the Amazon list.
Very nice.
Thanks to you guys out there. I will say this, as you might expect, and you guys have talked to him, Sean Thornton is sort of fearless. He will sort of say stuff. Unlike many of these, this is not going to be one of those. And then in the third period, we scored a pair of goals. That's not what this is about.
No.
Sean Thornton's new book, the title of which is Fighting My Way to the Top. The foreword was written by Tuukka Rask. It has got a kick-ass front cover, if I do say so myself. But it's available for pre-order right now. It will be out on October 26th of 2021, because they're typing and, you know, typesetting and all that stuff. But available for pre-order right now. And you guys have made it the number one in new releases in hockey, and I thank you.
Very good. Good stuff.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it, Dale.
It actually, I'm selfish when I say this. It's fun. I think you guys will enjoy reading it, because like I said, he'll say stuff. He is not afraid to do that. All right, we got to get out of here. Tomorrow, we'll have Andy Hart back in here, noted basketball scribe. Andy Hart will join us tomorrow, because I read WEEI.com and he's there. Fitzy, we'll see you on Wednesday. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you all tomorrow. Bye.
Fighting clam.
That's all, folks.